Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone back to our Sunday evening worship service at Beach Hill. We do have several visitors and family back home with us right now, and we're glad to see you here and invite you to come back any every opportunity that you can. We also have those worshiping with us via Zoom, and we want to welcome each one that's worshiping with us tonight. Before we begin our services, I have just a few announcements. I want to join in with Winston and congratulate and thank these young men that have led us in song and reading and prayer at 4:45 this evening. And we thank Winston and these young men for this work. After services tonight, there's been an event planned at Jeff and Monica Green's. This is for the young people of the congregation, and there'll be bonfire and singing. And so we want everyone to join in this event after services this evening. Also, upcoming events for the teens, the Area Youth Night is December 5th at West Main Church, and then also a December 20th trip for the fifth grade and up. So we want to continue to remember these upcoming events. Also, the Beach Hill Fruit Basket Delivery and Congregational Meal has been scheduled for December the 12th after our evening worship. Teachers, let's remember the upcoming rotation. This will be also on December 5th for the winter quarter. Everyone is aware of our lengthy sick list that we have at this time, and those that we are continuing to remember in our prayers. I do have a few updates. Jim Mountjoy will be begin radiation and chemo treatment soon, so let's continue praying for him and his family. Also, Don Moody had successful foot surgery Thursday. He remains a patient in the hospital there in Nashville. And also, Don will have gallbladder surgery tomorrow. So let's continue to remember Don in our prayers, as well as Randy Grisham, who continues to receive therapy. Many others that we're aware of at this time that are shut in and recuperating from recent surgeries and undergoing treatments. Also this morning, I made the announcement about Miss Kathy Hill. She has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she will begin her first treatment tomorrow. And this is Miss Yvonne Gamblin's sister. Also, Miss Jane Cowan is in the ICU in Tupelo. She suffered from a stroke. So let's continue to remember these as well. And also was told right before services that Will Simpson, after leading singing this morning, he's at home suffering with a kidney stone. So let's continue to remember Will at this time as well. As we begin worship this evening, Mike Griffin will be reading from God's word and wording our opening prayer. To close the service, Ryan Simpson has our closing prayer. Appropriate time, Brother King will bring the lesson, and if you will, please view the video board or get a song book as Stacy Simmons leads our singing.
First song will be number 174. We'll sing the first and last verses of 174. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I overcome, Lord, have my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my Lord.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faithful man, faithful man,
number 209. Song before our prayer will be 209. We'll sing the first and last verse.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But unite us with His eye, and we'll follow to the eye. We will understand it better by and by.
Scripture reading this evening will be coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for being allowed to assemble here again this evening to hear songs sang, to hear your word preached. We're so thankful for the opportunity that we have to come together as like-minded Christians. We pray that we will continue to study your word so that we may be able to know the things that are required of us. We're so thankful for your love and your mercy and your grace that you sent your one and only Son to come to this earth and live and teach among men so that we might have that hope of salvation one day. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for our youth. We're thankful for those that came tonight who had prayer, sang songs. We're so thankful for them that read scripture. Heavenly Father, we want to continue to pray that you will bless them, give them strength and courage, that we know that they are the future coming up of this church. We want to continue to pray that you will bless them each and every day. Bless those that work with them. Continue to pray for Winston and Mallory as they continue to work with the youth here at Beach Hill. Pray that you will give them wisdom, strength, and courage, and
they will study your word and that they will be able to impart it to each and every one that they are helping. Heavenly Father, we know that there are many that are sick. We know that Mark mentioned many that are on the prayer list, some who have just become sick. We pray that you will put your healing hands on them and that if it be your will, that they might be restored and receive a full measure of health so that they might be able to assemble back with us soon. Heavenly Father, we want to pray for our country. We know that this country has left you. We pray that we will give encouragement to those of our leaders. We pray that they might seek your wisdom through your word, that they might make the right decisions to draw the country closer back to you. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for each and every one here tonight. We're so thankful for the word that will be presented in a few moments from King. We know that he has studied diligently, that he is prepared to impart to us your word in a way that we will understand. We pray that we will have an open mind, open hearts, that we will take this word and apply it to our lives and it make us stronger Christians. We pray that we will be stronger Christians in the future than we have been in the past. We pray that we will always do those things to edify the church here, that we will always love one another, we'll be kind to one another. We're so thankful for our elders, those that shepherd us here at Beach Hill. We're so thankful for them and what they do, and as many times that they do things behind the scenes that we don't know about. We pray that they will continue to lean on you, that each and every decision that they might make might be in accordance with your word. Heavenly Father, be with us. Guide, guard, and direct us. Keep us on that straight and narrow path. And at the end, if we've been found faithful, give us that home in heaven with thee. This is a prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Number 696. We'll sing the first and last verse of 696.
My faith looks up to thee now.
When in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted by Satan. Satan sought to draw Jesus away from trusting in his Father's love and care, and to rely upon another word offered as a word of suggestion that would be helpful to him, a wise course of action, to which Jesus replied by saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. It is not only the devil that would persuade us that we need to listen to something other than the word of God. There have arisen through the course of religious history those who have advised certain ways to follow, advocated those ways rather vigorously, and would lay upon people a course of action and response toward God, which they believe be wise and profitable of good. And all these efforts have tended to lead people to think that out of man's wisdom, we can find a way that is pleasing to God and is adjusted to our lives and be more helpful to us. All of this is contrary to the idea of trusting in God and following what his word says. In Mark chapter 7, we see this conflict coming to a head in the ministry of Jesus. Our Lord had in his ministry in Judea earlier drawn to himself attention from the religious authorities. They had accused him of a course of action that was contrary, as they thought, to God's word. And when in Galilee, he went about his ministry and attracted the attention of the people. He also attracted opposition there. And some of that opposition came through visitors who arrived from Jerusalem, as we're told at the beginning of Mark chapter 7. And they were very watchful of Jesus, observing his actions. And they noticed, as you read there in the text, that his disciples would eat without going through the ceremonial or prescribed washing. They ate with unwashen hands. That has nothing to do, of course, with the customary practice of cleansing our hands before we eat a meal. What it had to do with was a tradition of their elders. The words used here describe that tradition. It was a vigorous washing, and along with it went other ceremonial washings of pots and pitchers and cups and copper or bronze vessels. And if they had been in the marketplace, associating with all kinds of people, a possibility of bumping into people that may have been defiled in some way through their transgressions, they would come back and even engage in a thoroughgoing washing of their bodies before they would sit down to a meal. Now, there were rituals in the law of Moses that had to do with ceremonial cleansing. One might approach and serve God for some particular purpose. But what is referred to here by Mark in this description had to do with traditions that had come from men at later times. These were not the laws of God. God's word to Israel through the law of Moses did not prescribe this. These were additions to the law. But they had become so embedded in the cultural and religious thought of the people that it was believed that this was the right thing to do. And on the basis of that, they raised a criticism and their question when they spoke to Jesus about it. The Pharisees, verse 5, and the scribes asked him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with defiled hands?" Walking not according to the tradition of the elders. Nothing said here about the law of Moses for the Israelites that they were to observe, but the tradition of the elders. They're not walking according to that. And this is the question brought to Jesus, to which he gives an answer that takes one through this text, through the 23rd verse. We have one point before us that we'd like to make tonight, and it is a point that is made by this teaching given by our Lord in Mark chapter 7, that holding to the religious traditions of men as the authority in religious, spiritual, and moral matters is a fundamental error. And it is at the root of other errors with regard to belief and practice and moral conduct. Now, how is this point made to us in this passage? Well, we see that this is an error that implies that God's written word is not the all-sufficient authority to guide us in the way that pleases God. God had given to Israel the law of Moses. If they followed that law, they would please God in their conduct and in their worship and service toward him. The tradition of the elders implied that that written word was not sufficient to make them pleasing to God under the law and to serve him and to believe and teach what he would have them to believe and teach. That is a basic error, and it leads to other errors such as adding to or taking away from God's word. If a person believes that, he will believe that not only with regard to the law of Moses, but he will also believe that with regard to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the teaching of the apostles and evangelists in the New Testament that we call the New Covenant. It will be a principle that is erroneous, and it will imply that the gospel teaching is ineffective in fully guiding us to please the Lord. Contrary to that, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction that is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely to every good work. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. It's quite impressive also the way that the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter emphasizes this all-sufficiency of what God has provided. We made mention this morning about the way Peter spoke a word of prayer at the beginning of these letters, and so it is here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace to you and peace be multiplied, and then notice this, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. Peter is saying to his fellow Christians, we have through this knowledge, this understanding that has already been given to us by God through Jesus Christ, everything needed that pertains to life and godliness. But that is only the beginning of the way in which Peter emphasizes this throughout the entire letter, all three chapters, that everything has already been provided for us. And if we attend to that, if we receive that, as he says in verse 19, if we take heed to that, then we have everything that we need in order to make our calling and election sure. What we have received are not cunningly devised fables. This did not come from the hearts of men. It did not come from sincere desire that things be a certain way and their imagination that therefore it was that way. These things were revealed to these men. And therefore, we are to give attention to these things, the things that come from the holy prophets, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through the apostles. There will be false teachers that will arise and teach us their ways, chapter 2, verse 1. Such men will twist the scriptures, chapter 3 and verse 17, but we are to receive what has been provided for us and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, chapter 3 and verse 18. If we follow what has been given to us, we have everything we need. These things come from God through Christ to the men who were guided by the very Spirit of God to speak as they spoke. Now, this is an emphasis not only given by Peter in that letter, but it's given all through the teaching of our Lord and the teaching of the apostles and the inspired men of the New Testament. We have everything we need. What comes from the traditions, however sincerely they may be given, of men out of their own hearts, is not helpful. It's a fundamental error when that is put forward as the authority, and it leads us away from that which is truly authoritative and good for our lives, the Word of God. Second, this error is a fundamental error that leads people astray from God. It leads them astray from his word. And Jesus emphasizes this point when he says in this passage in Mark chapter 7, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. That's in Mark 7, verse 6. He's responding to their critical question about his own disciples and their practice, saying, these men do not keep the tradition of the elders. Jesus said, here's what Isaiah says about you. And he spoke well in what he said. It's right to the point. And what he said by prophecy, that is by the Holy Spirit, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Jesus says in this passage, Isaiah is talking about you. You are a people who honor God with your lips, but your hearts are far from him. What is the proof of that? The proof of it is in what Isaiah said next. In vain do they worship me, teaching as their precepts the doctrines of men. What is he talking about here? Did they not go to the temple? Did they not attend to the sacrifices? Did they not there do the worship in the prescribed manner as it was in the temple? Yes, they did. They did all of that. They were very attentive to it and very scrupulous about that. What's the problem then? The problem is in their teaching. They taught as authority that which was the words of men. And therefore, their worship that they did at the temple was that did not honor God. Because in their lives and in their teaching, they honored another authority. And whenever people live by their own judgment and their own opinions, and when they believe that to be the authority or the traditions of men to be their authority, what they do in worshiping God with their lips is in vain, because it does not come out of lives that honor him day by day. Well did Isaiah speak of this, and Jesus wanted them to hear Isaiah's words. Notice what he says in verse 8, "You leave the commandment of God and hold fast the tradition of men." There's the error, the fundamental error, leading to other errors, and it leads people away from God and true devotion to him. It leads people away from his word. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, said that people might call him Lord, Lord. They might speak to God that way, but the proof of that, the reality of that, would be decided on what they actually do. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Then at the end of that sermon, he gave the illustration of those men building a house, to which we've called your attention several times. And who is the person that builds a house that will stand? He's the one who not only hears what Jesus says, but who lives by it, who knows that his authority is true. It is the authority of God himself. And he hear his word and live by it, and not by the words of men. This error of holding to the traditions of men is also a fundamental error that causes transgressions. It leads to actual sins and shortcomings because of a failure to follow God's word. Our Lord himself gives an illustration of that that you find in Mark chapter 7 as he continued this indictment of his fellow Jews for holding to the traditions of men as authoritative instead of heeding the word of God. Notice what he says in Mark 7 at verse 9. "And he said to them, full well do you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition." And he gives an example. Moses said, "Honor your father and your mother." "But you say this, if a man shall say to his father and mother, that wherewith you might have been profited by me, it is korban, then he's no longer obligated to do anything for his father or mother." Now, the practice the Lord is speaking of here was not in the law of Moses. It was one of their traditions. It was a procedure that could be activated in the temple, whereby in a formality, a statement that would be made in a ceremony, this man would say concerning his own possessions, "I pronounce them to be devoted," as if he was devoting them to God in a special way, and therefore they could not be used for some common use, like helping his needy or destitute father or mother if they fell upon hard times. "Oh, no, I can't do that because I pronounced this word upon my possessions." Why, the very idea of that. It transgressed one of the Ten Commandments to honor father and mother. And the law had emphasized this obligation from his youth to honor his father and mother by heeding their word, and then if need be, to continue to honor them by helping them if they fell upon hard times and became destitute. And by a tradition of men, this man was relieved of that obligation, and thereby he transgressed God's very word. Yes, the traditions of men and religion can lead people to commit sin by failing to do what God says to do, to violate God's word, and to fall short of what God's word requires. The Apostle Paul gave an example of that when he spoke to Galatian Christians in Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. And he's referring to their past lives, and he says, "At that time, you didn't know God, and you were in bondage too. You were serving things that are not God's. But now you've come to know God, And God knows you. That's even better. You've come to be acknowledged by God as his children. Why is it then, Paul says, that you're listening to these teachers and you would turn back again to these rudimentary principles of the world that have nothing to do with God's word, but they have everything to do with worldliness and the hearts of men and the religions of men? And he says, you observe days and months and seasons and years. He's talking about religious practices here that are of no value and cannot truly help the person to do God's will and to fulfill what God requires in their lives. Paul says, I'm afraid of you, lest I bestow labor upon you in vain. He speaks in a similar way to the Christians at Colossae, giving them a warning about the precepts and the doctrines of men and the traditions of men in Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And then later in the second chapter, verse 20, if you died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, how is it then that though living in the world, you subject yourselves to these ordinances? Handle not, don't taste, don't touch, ceremonial type things after the precepts and doctrines of men. Oh, Paul said, these things have a show, and that's what they are. They're a show, an outward show of wisdom and will worship and humility, severity to the body, as if all of these practices, where did they come from? From the judgment in the hearts of men, religious traditions of men, not from God's word. Paul said, they're not of any value. They can't even help you in dealing with selfish indulgence and the problems of sin and temptation. That's where traditions of men will lead us, not closer to God. And they render us helpless in finding the blessings that God would provide for our lives that truly help us spiritually. It is a fundamental error. And we would emphasize in the fourth place, as Jesus taught there in Mark 7, that being a fundamental error in its very nature, it cannot help us in our spiritual needs. Passages I cited from Paul said that. But let us come back to Mark chapter 7. God has made provision for us through his word to meet our actual spiritual needs and to provide for those needs the full answer to them. Jesus uses a little parable here to teach that. It's not that which comes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of the man. And his disciples wanted to know about that. What do you mean by this? Because these traditions of the elders had focused on outward, external things. As Paul said, handle not, don't taste, don't touch, as if those are the real problems of life. But they aren't. The real problem of life is on the inside. As Jesus said, it's in the heart. Verse 21 of Mark 7, for from within, out of the heart of men, evil thoughts proceed. Fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetings, wickednesses, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, railing, pride, foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. And it's only God's word that can deal with that. The living and active word of God that pierces us even to the deepest core of our being comes from the God who knows us and has given to us the word that reaches our hearts and can help us. The traditions of men arising from man's wisdom cannot meet that need, but God can help us. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from where? Not from the hearts of men, not even well-meaning and sincere religious men, but that which proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's God's word and God's word only that can meet our real spiritual needs. It's a source of great comfort to us, or it ought to be, that we have this book before us and we give heed to this word, that we look into this perfect law, the law of liberty from God. We attend to that and we abide in that. We have the only resource that we need as an authoritative spiritual guide for our lives. We don't have to go looking for another book. And we don't have to go ask some other authority. We don't have to approach some council of men or some human authority and find guidance. We all have the same resource. We all look to the same God. We all hear the word that has come from him. And when we speak to the world about these matters, and people ask about the way of salvation, the answer we give them comes from this word. When they ask about our lives as Christians and our service and worship and our fellowship, we speak to them from this word. And when your children have questions and ask about these matters of a religious, spiritual, and moral nature, you can open the Bible to them and speak to them from God's word and not from some human authority or human organization, but from the very word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And this evening, if you would use this opportunity at the singing of a song of invitation to respond to the gospel, to become a child of God, you can do so according to what this word says, by making known with your confession your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Make known your repentance toward God by being baptized in the name of his blessed Son to receive the remission of sins and the hope of life eternal. As we now stand and sing.
The voice of the Savior says, come, the cross where he died is in sight. He now at the cross there is room. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The
appreciate your presence here tonight, especially our visitors. Please come back at any time that you can. Also, please remember the event at Jeff and Monica's here right after services. There are one or more present that have not had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. It is prepared across the hall to my right. You may be dismissed at this time. Our closing song will be number 570. We'll sing the first verse only. 570, followed by our closing prayer.
Bury with me, O my Savior, for the day is passing by. See the shades of evening gather, and the night is drawing nigh.
Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful to you so much for another opportunity we've had tonight to be here. We're thankful for being able to give you worship and to sing songs that have encouraged each other and expressed love to you. We're thankful that we could read from your word and we can pray to you, know that you hear us, and that we could devote our effort and our energy on listening to a lesson from your word. We're thankful for it and for how it challenges us and helps us to examine ourselves when we look into your word, and it shows us a true picture of who we are and where we need to be. We pray that we see that, we realize the changes that we need to make, and that we'll do it, that we'll be people that will live in honor and be more pleasing to you every day and every minute that we have of our lives, to strive to do that. You bless us and continue to do it in so many ways. How could we not want to be pleasing in your sight? You loved us so much. You gave us your son. You love us so much to the ends of the world and back. We're so thankful for how you provide for us and work in our lives, and we have no idea really how you are helping us and working things out, but we know that you're there. We know that we can count on you in the end when our life is over to give us a home with you in heaven if we remain faithful. Go with us as we leave this place. Be with every family and every person, and help us to be the people that we should be this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.